This is DW News, and these are our top stories. The US House of Representatives has narrowly passed a $1.9 trillion pandemic aid package. Individuals will get one-off cash payments, and billions will go to struggling sectors of American society. President Joe Biden is calling on the Senate to act fast to make it law. Myanmar State TV says the country's ambassador to the United Nations has been fired. In an emotional appeal to the international community, Kyaw Moe Tun had announced the army coup, which deposed the civilian government. Security forces have stepped up their crackdown against opponents of the military regime. Scuffles have broken out as hundreds joined lockdown protests in the Irish capital, Dublin. Violence flared as police tried to stop demonstrators reaching a central park. The Irish government has extended lockdown restrictions until April 5th. COVID-19 cases surged after the rules were eased in Ireland before Christmas. You're watching DW News. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter or visit our website, dw.com.
The oil company Equinor is doing something extraordinary on the Sleipner gas platform in the North Sea. It pumps millions of tons of carbon dioxide under the seabed. The greenhouse gas that threatens to warm the planet is simply bunkered away, and Equinor has plans to sequester even more carbon dioxide.
The storage potential in the North Sea is large enough to handle substantial part, if not everything, that comes out of Europe.
Can that work? Will ships with CO2 soon be going to Norway to sink our climate problem under the North Sea?
No.
The technologies exist, but do they really advance climate protection, or are we just buying time? According to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, we can only emit a maximum of around 330 billion tons of CO2 if the rise in global temperature is to stay below 1.5 degrees Celsius. We're currently releasing around 42 billion tons a year. If we carry on as before, the CO2 budget would be used up in around 8 years, by 2028. Steps like closing coal-fired power plants, expanding the use of renewable energies, and switching to electric cars will cause CO2 emissions to decrease. The more ambitious we are, the more they go down. But keeping the increase below 330 billion tons seems a hopeless cause, and it means there'll be more CO2 that has to be removed from the air.
We need reforestation. We have to think about how to deal with our bogs, but that won't be enough. Even if we cut our CO2 emissions in half every decade, we will still have to remove several hundred million tons of CO2 from the atmosphere by the end of the century. So we have to ask ourselves where we can put it.
Norway has a lot of experience removing and storing CO2. Equinor extracts natural gas on a peninsula near Hammerfest, the northernmost city in Europe. Andreas Sandvik is in charge of the plant. He's proud that a way has been found here to get rid of CO2, but also to deliver an immense amount of fossil energy to Europe.
It is amazing. I mean, it's a lot of energy. So typically, energy for a city of 60,000 inhabitants for a whole year. And that's about 1.2 gigawatts. So it's amazing, huh?
CO2 is always a byproduct of natural gas extraction. But the crucial thing here is that it flows back under the North Sea. The system is controlled remotely from the command center. There's no offshore platform. One pipeline brings natural gas to the plant, while another carries CO2 back under the sea.
In this, the gas stream coming in, about 6% of the content is CO2. And this is quite unique about this plant, because we remove the CO2, we dry it and compress it, and we push it back to a separate reservoir offshore for permanent storage. So 90 tons an hour, almost 800 tons a year that we store permanently in a reservoir offshore. 143 kilometers out.
The state-owned company that made Norway one of the richest countries on Earth would like to benefit from this experience. Equinor is in the process of establishing a new business model. It calls the project Northern Lights. As early as 2023, the first ships will bring CO2 from European industry to Norway. A new pipeline descends steeply from the coast, then runs 110 kilometers along the sea floor to a point where the greenhouse gases are injected 2,500 meters deep into the North Sea's sediment. Sverre Orvera is responsible for the new field of business. It's his job to lead the company into the future.
Norway, it's seen as an opportunity to actually continue to use the resources that are in the North Sea, not as an energy provider, but as a storage provider for industrial CO2.
Construction of the plants has started and the first test drilling has been done. The gigantic Northern Lights project is meant to pave the way for the large-scale storage of CO2. Its initial goal is to free Europe's industries from greenhouse gases.
If we succeed, then we have the opportunity to actually help clean up quite a few of the industries that have no other option. And we will allow these industries actually to stay here in Europe. It's hard to see a world without steel. It's hard to see a future without cement. They are essential, and they need to decarbonize as well.
Even if steel production switches to renewable energy sources, there will always be an amount of CO2 left over from the manufacturing process. Looking at German industry as a whole, this remaining CO2 accounts for around 7% of CO2 emissions. If Europe is serious about climate protection, these emissions must also be stopped. But is it realistic that freighters will bring CO2 from Germany to Norway? Today, there are only four ships like the Freya worldwide. Tommy Pedersen is responsible for loading the tanker. In the Norwegian port of Porsgrunn, it takes on CO2 that was released during the production of fertilizers.
Down. Down.
The gas is delivered to the food industry, which uses it in beer and fizzy drinks, for example, or for cooling. Today, CO2 is a commodity in small quantities. After the gas has been cooled and compressed, the Freya transports it in liquid form. The tank holds 1,500 tons of CO2. Assuming that all of the carbon dioxide produced by German industry would be transported by ships like the Freya, around 100 of these tankers would have to travel from Germany to Norway every day. But that's not a problem for the specialist.
In theory, it will be just a cost calculation. How is the optimum size of the ship from, let's say, around the North Sea down into the Northern Sea seabed? So I'm sure that if this is a technology that those companies who are into this, they will just calculate the right size of the ship.
So shipping CO2 to Norway is plausible, but would those millions of tons of greenhouse gases really stay put under the ocean floor? This is the Kieshofmeyer near Greifswald in eastern Germany. Professor Hans Joosten has many objections to the idea of sinking our greenhouse gases using technical processes. He believes our priority should be to restore natural CO2 stores, such as bogs.
We have to get away from the illusion that we can do business as usual and develop a technology that compensates for all our sins.
Joosten is Dutch. He's researched bogs all over the world, works on the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and is known as the Peat Pope. Here, Joosten tries to understand the origin and development of bogs in the meter-thick layers of peat.
These are actually my favorite peat to taste. These water peat mosses, they taste very fine, often sulfurous, sulfide-like.
Yeah, it's good.
And of course, we have to use all of our senses to better understand nature. We always think that we need a lot of devices to measure things, but we shouldn't forget that we can do an incredible amount with our eyes and ears, our noses and our mouths.
There are hardly any idyllic places like this left in Germany. 99% of bogs have been drained and thus destroyed. This has made them climate killers, because all the peat that a bog like this stores is then gradually released into the atmosphere.
That's pure stored carbon. Half of this plant matter consists of carbon, and that's stored away. It then grows up layer by layer, with us in the order of 0.5 millimeter to 1 millimeter per year. Over thousands of years, these layers are meters thick and contain a great deal of carbon. That's pure climate protection.
This only applies to intact bogs. Since almost all bogs in Germany have been drained, they give off a lot of greenhouse gases, almost 6% of total emissions, more than air traffic.
We calculated that if we restore water to drained bogs, we will be able to compensate for even more than the warming caused by CO2 emissions since the Industrial Revolution. So bog re-wetting is a very important step, along with creating cooling systems for a world that's getting warmer anyway.
That would be desirable, but how would it be possible to restore bogs to their natural state in an industrialized country like Germany? The largest oil and gas deposits in the North Sea are here, off the coast of Stavanger in Norway. The plans would mean pumping would continue here, but in the opposite direction after those deposits are eventually exhausted. But would the CO2 from European industry really stay underground, or would it become a time bomb?
I think we can use the example that oil and gas is in the ground and it stays there until we try to take it out. And what we're doing essentially is the reverse. We're placing CO2 in the ground.
The headquarters of the Norwegian Petroleum Directorate is also here in Stavanger. It makes decisions on the resources under the North Sea, issues drilling licenses, and inspects rock formations. Fridtjof Riis is a geologist who has long been searching in the drill core archive for the optimum sediment into which the first industrial carbon dioxide will be injected.
We have been looking at possible storage options for many years. I think I started with this in 2006. And one of the first suggestions from our side was this Johansen Formation, because it's a good sandstone. It has we are looking now at we can touch it and feel it, and feel it as sand with a lot of pore space between the grains.
Under the North Sea, the pores of the sandstone are filled with water.